question. And I hope it is our intent, that is all of our intent, to follow Jesus. You can't go wrong when you follow Jesus. If we want to go to heaven, we must follow Jesus. God is such a great God. He has given us another day to come to this place and to give him our praise and to honor and to glorify his name. For that I know all of us are thankful. For if it were not for his mercy and for his grace, none of us would be here. I hope when we have left this place that we would have pleased our God in every way in our service to him on this day. If you're visiting with us, as the welcome has already been extended, but if you came in after that, I want to say again how grateful we are to have you with us on this morning. Certainly we encourage you to fill out a visitor's card and leave it with us. They'll be asked for in a later part of the service. When we stand to sing the song of invitation, we will be encouraging any among us who needs to come and establish the right relationship with Christ. If you are not already following him according to his word, we'll be encouraging you to come. If you find in your life, if you have already made that commitment, but somehow you have faltered along the way, we would encourage you to make amends for that through repentance. And if you need to confess, we would encourage you to come. Or perhaps you just want to request prayer, we would encourage you to come also. If you desire not to come, to verbalize your prayer, prayer request forms are available that you can write your request down. If you don't see one in the pew in front of where you sit in the pocket there, just raise your hand and the ushers will gladly assist you. So write that request down and it will be read and will be prayed for at the end of our service. So again, it's good for us to be here. We thank God again for his mercy and his love that he extends upon us. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Paul makes a statement that should be most encouraging to every Christian. Because of the sin problem in our life, we are condemned to spiritual death. Paul said it much in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. He says, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned." So we have a problem, and it's sin, and it causes death. It causes physical death, and it causes spiritual death. And because of the spiritual death, then there is a sentence of condemnation that stands upon us. To stand condemned in the sight of God is not a state that any of us want to be in. You see, the word condemn means to pronounce, to be utterly wrong, to utter a sentence of disapprobation against, to censor, to blame. But it also means to cast upon one utter rejection, to pronounce to be guilty, to sentence to punishment, to utter sentence against, and to doom. That's a terrible state to be in, is to be doomed. So as children of God, then, we should be ever so thankful for Christ Jesus. What a great motivation we have to walk as Christ has called us to walk. This perhaps had to be the reason that the Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to make this wonderful statement in Romans 8 and verse 1. After declaring them all guilty before God, he now lets them know that Christ Jesus is their only solution to pleasing the Almighty. So he says, after having said that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, after declaring one as being wretched, he comes to this statement and says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Does that make you feel good? There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. You see, again, to be condemned means that we have the sentence of doom on us. When one is condemned by a court to death, they have the sentence of doom upon them. Just the other day, one was executed in Texas for something that was done in 1998. And once that sentence of death was handed down upon her, I don't know of mine, but I can imagine that that wasn't a good feeling. That all of those years, she had a terrible feeling, perhaps. Knowing that one day, she was going to have to give her life for what she had done. One day, we will have to give our souls for what we have done if it were not for Christ. But because of Christ and because of our relationship with him, when we walk as he has directed for us to walk, we don't have to go day after day wondering when they're going to put the needle in mom. They don't use the electric chair too much now anymore. So we don't have to go day after day wondering when that's going to happen, because we have Christ, who have made it all right for us. And because of that, then, we can find solace, we can find consolation in knowing there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are two things I want to leave with us this morning from this passage of Scripture, as well as others. Number one, I want to leave with us that it should encourage us to make sure that we are in Christ. Since that's where the no condemnation is to them that are in Christ. And in Christ, we have all spiritual blessings. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. One of those spiritual blessings is the no condemnation. And we have no condemnation because if we're in Christ, then we have been redeemed from our sins. So verse number 7 in Ephesians chapter 1 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So it's a wonderful thing to be in Christ. And these are the blessings that will last throughout eternity when we walk and live as Christ has directed us to live. But I'm afraid this morning that many times people misunderstand what the true blessings really are. So many then misunderstand and mistake the physical blessings that they enjoy as spiritual ones. Or to say it another way, they feel that God is approving of their lives or of their actions because he just keeps on blessing them physically. They hadn't been laid off from their job. They get raises on their job. They're able to pay their rent. They're able to go down and trade in one struggle burger for another struggle burger. That's a car. They're able to pay their mortgage. They're able to do all of these things. They enjoy a reasonable portion of health and strength. And so many times, because all of these things happen in their lives, they feel as though God is all right with me because he keeps on blessing me. You know, I was talking just last week, a week before last, when I did the lesson on understanding the will of God. Many times, again, people don't understand that God blesses folks that are not right with him physically, just like he blesses folks that are right with him physically. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 45, he says that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the what? Evil. Is an evil person right with God? I don't think so. But still, the Lord maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And he sendeth his rain on the just and the unjust. So just because he's raining down physical blessings on our lives is no indication that he approves of our lives. And perhaps the reason why he's raining those physical blessings down on us is trying to help us to see what a good God he is so that we will get right. But many times people mistake his physical blessing for spiritual blessings, and so they have no incentive, if you will, to get right with him because they think that they're already right because he keeps on blessing them in a physical way. And then there are others who are morally good people. And so they trust in their morality as being right with God. I know God is pleased with me because I don't curse anybody out. I do good to folks. You know, I'm ready and I'm there if they need me. I live a good moral life. So God has got to be pleased with me. And so they mistake that for God's approval of their lives. Now, certainly God approves of our morality. If it's a good morality, he approves of that. But it takes more than just being a good moral person to be right with God. How do I know that? Because if that's what it took to truly be right with God, then Cornelius in the Bible would have had no problem. But something was missing in Cornelius' life. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse number 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a devout man. Does that sound like a man that's pretty good? He was a devout man. That is, he was devoted. And one that feared God with all his house. He respected God. Does that sound like a pretty good man? That sounds like a good man to me. Not only did he fear God with all his heart, but he gave much alms to the people. He was a benevolent man. That sounds like a pretty good man to me. And he prayed to God always. But then the Bible says he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. A devout man, a man that fears God, a man that gives much alms to the people, a man that prays to God always. You mean that there's something lacking in this man's life? Evidently so, because the angel said to him, you need to go and send folks, or send men to Joppa and call for Simon, who was Peter. And when he comes, he will tell you what you ought to do. So, he does what the angel tells him. He sends men to Joppa, and they find Simon, who was Peter. And six of them accompany him back. And when he gets back to the house of Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, Cornelius says this. He says, Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And then Peter begins from Acts chapter 10 and verse 34 all the way down to the end of the chapter. He begins to talk to this man and his family about what God wants them to do. He talks to them about the need, if you will, to get out of their sin problem. Then in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, the Bible says this, And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Why did they need to be baptized? They needed to be baptized to be saved from their sins. And so it is no wonder then that when Peter went back to Jerusalem, and he was rehearsing, if you will, his experience with Cornelius and his household to his Jewish brethren there. He said to them there in Acts chapter 11, and began at verse number 12 through 14. Notice what he says there. He says, And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. Verse number 13 says, And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And verse 14 says, Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Until we are saved from our sins, we are not in the right relationship with God. So we can be as good a person as we can be. But if we're not saved from our sins, we're not in the right relationship with God. That's why, again, the angel said to Cornelius, you need to send men to Joppa and have Peter to come there to tell you what you ought to do, to tell you what you need to do to be saved. So don't mistake a right relationship with God with living a good moral life. We need to be in Christ. And the only way to get in Christ is through baptism. No wonder the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, For we are all the children of God, the Bible says, by faith in Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Until we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and we are baptized into Christ, it's only until then that we have the right relationship with God. So moral goodness is good. But moral goodness does not equate to righteousness. Righteousness is having the right relationship with God. Cornelius, when he obeyed the gospel, he now had the right relationship with God. He had been baptized, and you know what that baptism did for him? It put him in the church. Acts 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when he heard words whereby he and all his house must be saved, when he obeyed that teaching and was baptized, then he was added to the church. So then, to be in Christ then means to be in the church. It means to be in his body. And everybody ought to want to be in Christ, because that's where salvation is. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 10, he says this, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is where? In Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Salvation is in Christ. It's not out of Christ. Salvation is in Christ. And Christ has a body, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18 says this. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church. So Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 tells us that also, that the body is the church. So if salvation then is in Christ, then in order to have that salvation, I must be in Christ. And if the body is the church, which is the body of Christ, that means salvation is also in the body. Christ is the Savior, salvation is in the body. So if you want to be saved, you've got to be in Christ, got to be in the body, because that's where salvation is. Outside of Christ, outside of the body, there is no salvation. There can be no right relationship with God. So we ought to be encouraged when we hear a statement like the Apostle Paul made, when he said there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, it ought to encourage us to be in Christ. And let me say this before I leave that point. I make this point from time to time. Make sure when we're in Christ and in the church that we stay there. It's very important that we stay in the church. Because if you walk away from the church, you've just walked away from Christ. A lot of times people look and see all kinds of things going on and they say, I don't like this, I don't like that. Well, that may be so. But stay in the church, because that's where salvation is. You know, I'm reminded about when the people were getting ready to, God was getting ready to deliver his people out of Egyptian bondage. And when he told them to put the blood over the doorposts. Look at Exodus chapter 12 very quickly before we leave this point. In verse number 21, notice what the Bible says there. The Bible says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And the next passage says this, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you, the Bible says, shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Now, why did they put that statement made? Because if you go back earlier in Exodus chapter 12, you'll find that he says that the death angel is going to pass through the land, and he's going to kill every firstborn and every place where there is not blood over the door. So if you go walking out the door, if the death angel comes by, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get smacked. You're going to get killed. So he says, stay in the house till the morning. I want to say to us, brothers and sisters, the morning hadn't come yet. Stay in the church until resurrection morning. Stay in the church until you die. What I should have said, stay in the church until you die. And if you die in the church, then you're going to be resurrected in the church. Too late to try to get in the church after you're resurrected. No more opportunity. But stay with the church. Stay in the church. As I say so many times, hypocrites may be there, but you stay there. Liars may be there, you stay there. And I'm going to talk about liars tonight. I hope you can be back. Folks that do all kinds of stuff may be there, but you stay there. As a matter of fact, Jesus even said that the kingdom is composed of all kinds of folks. Go back and read Matthew 13 sometimes. He says it's like a net that catches all kinds of fish. So when you see a fish in there that you don't think ought to be there, that don't look so good, don't be surprised. Jesus said they're going to be there. He said one day the net's going to be drawn to show. He's going to take out the good and throw away the bad. So stay in the church. The second thing I want to leave with us from this passage, Romans 8 and verse number 1, is that it should encourage us to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Again, the passage says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what is that saying? That if I'm in Christ, but if I'm walking after the flesh, I'm condemned. So my point is, it's not enough just to be in the church. We must be in the church, yes, but we must walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. What does this mean then? This means that we must deny the flesh. Isn't that what Paul said when he wrote to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12? He says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we're going to have to deny the lust of the flesh. We're going to have to deny the fleshly desires in order for us not to be condemned. So, it should encourage us then to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Why? Because walking after the flesh brings eternal spiritual death. The Bible says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19, beginning. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? What are they, brothers and sisters? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such lack. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That sounds like spiritual death to me, doesn't it? That sounds like that we need to make sure that we deny those things. Those things must not become a way of life for us. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the church at Colossae, he says, put to death, Colossians 3 and verse 5, your members that are upon the earth. And he names a whole list of things in that scenario. So we then must avoid those things because they bring spiritual death. We will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, even though we may be members of the body of the church. And by the way, he was writing to Christians. He wasn't writing to the world. He was writing to the churches of Galatia. So he says, I want you to know that these things are works of the flesh. And if you engage in those things, you will not go to heaven. That's what he's saying, my brothers and sisters. So we must be in Christ, but But we must refuse to walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. You see, we don't owe the flesh anything. Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 12, he says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall what? Die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify or put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Which one you want to do? You want to die or do you want to live? And he's talking about spiritually here. Do we want to live spiritually or do we want to die that eternal death? Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So oftentimes people say, God is my father, God is the head of my life, and all of that kind of thing. But yet they're still walking after the flesh. Well, something's wrong with that picture. Again, they don't understand the will of God. So we don't owe the flesh anything. And then the Bible tells us that even in the flesh, we cannot please God. No wonder Paul says that they shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, because in order to go to heaven, we've got to please God. But if we keep walking in the flesh, living after the flesh, there's no way we're going to please God. Going back to Romans chapter 8 again, in verse number 5, the Bible says this, for they that are after the flesh do what? They mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, he says this, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7, he says this, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. That word simply means they're the enemy of God. And I've said this 1,000 times, I've said it one. An enemy of God will never win. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And verse 8 says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If we keep walking in the flesh, we will forever be condemned until we get out of it. So we cannot please God in the flesh. So what's the answer? The answer is to walk in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It simply means to walk after the teaching of the Spirit. You see, the Spirit gave us the Word. So when we walk in the Spirit, it means we're walking according to the Word, living according to how God, through Christ Jesus, teaches us to live. And when we do that, then we will avoid the works of the flesh, and we will live after the Spirit. So again, Paul says, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So instead of walking according to how we feel, what we desire to do, satisfying the flesh, satisfying the mind, we walk according to what God teaches us to do, and we'll satisfy and we'll please God. Let's be like Enoch. The Bible says Enoch had this testimony, that he pleased God. So let's please God, brothers and sisters, by walking in the Spirit, living according to the precepts and the commands of our God. When we walk in the Spirit, or walk after the Spirit, we are walking worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4 verse 1 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Let's walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. God has called us through Jesus Christ, his Son. So let's walk worthy of that calling. Don't live in such a way that we demonstrate our being unworthy of it. You ever did something for somebody and they just squander what you've done or just misuse what you've done, and you say that it wasn't even worth my doing that. That's what those passages mean. If we don't walk worthy of our calling, then it's the same as if God would say, it wasn't worth my son to die for you. Because you live in any kind of way. He didn't die for us to keep on living any kind of way. But he died for us to live according to his will. Let's live according to the will of God. So that we won't have the sentence of condemnation upon us. And when we walk worthy according to our calling, it brings glory to God. It was God's purpose from the beginning that we bring glory to his name. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 through 12, the Bible says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom the Bible says we have attained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12 says this, that we should be to the what? Praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We'll never be to the praise of his glory if we keep walking after the flesh, because we will be doomed. We will have that sentence of condemnation on our head. So as Paul writes to the church at Rome, he wants them to know that you've been truly blessed in Christ Jesus. Everybody's a sinner, but God has so fixed it that you can be out of your sins or get out of your sins. You can be delivered from your sins. And because of that, you don't have to keep walking through life as a condemned person. Because again, a person who is condemned by the courts, one day he's going to have to meet, or she's going to have to meet, that sentence. If we keep walking as a condemned person in Christ, one day we're going to have to meet our sinners. And that's not going to be a pretty day. Because we will be sentenced into a place that wasn't even prepared for us. The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare hell for us. Christ went back to prepare heaven for us. That's where he wants us to come. But in order to get there, we got to please him. And to please him, we got to walk after the Spirit. So think about it, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's walk after the Spirit, so that we can see God's face in peace. If we have any here this morning who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, though you may be a good person, you may be, Cornelius may have described you, but if you have been saved and become a member of the body of Christ where salvation is, you're still condemned in your sins. How do you get out of that? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. You repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. You be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. You will be a saved person. And then continue to live a life walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Do you need to come this morning and be forgiven of your sins, be saved from your sins, become a member of the body, the church that you can read about in the New Testament? If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking after the flesh, realize you're walking as a condemned person. Turn away from those things. And if you need to confess, or if you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, we beg you come. Come right now while we stand.
5:26.
Ask me not, Lord Jesus, Savior, hear my humble cry. What all others thou art calling, do not pass me
by. That one that needs to come this morning, will you come, will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? Will you come?